Welcome back to the Retail Maverick Show Uncut with your host, Andrew Busby. And also, we are now associated with The Industrious. So a shout out for them, leading experience design agency, We Elevate Brands. So thanks very much for The Industrious supporting this podcast. Now, I've got somebody with me today. We're actually up in London in a lovely hotel, the Kimpton Fitzroy. So thank you to them for hosting us. I've got somebody, she's a former CEO at Jack Wills and also a board member at Debenhams, amongst many other things that she's doing at the moment. Perhaps she'll tell us a little bit about that. Welcome, Suzanne Harlow.
Hello. Good to see you.
So, Suzanne, I said you're wearing a number of other hats. Just tell us a little bit about that first.
Well, you're right, actually. I'm doing quite a few different things. I'm working with a law firm, advising them on their retail and consumer clients and what's going on in the industry. I'm working with a sports producer in Sheffield. I've been involved with the British Heart Foundation for the last 6 years. And I'm also doing some board advisory with an experiential marketing company. So
wow.
Quite varied compared to what I've done in the last sort of many years in retail.
Well, I'm glad this podcast is only going to take up 15 minutes of your time with that workload. So let's retail. We were talking before this. So I'm just back from Vegas from another great shop talk. And there was a lot of things that were discussed there, the power of the brand, retail media and the growth of that. Also, interestingly, store associate technology to drive better customer experience.
Yeah.
But the one thing, as you might imagine, that stood out the most was AI.
Yeah.
And, of course, AI, as we know, comes in many different flavors. And I think we're all in danger of being a bit lazy and we just bundle it all together. But anyway, wanted to get your thoughts on the role of AI in retail and perhaps looking ahead and the potential, the opportunities and so on and so forth.
Okay. So I think with the background that I've had, so commercial product brand, I think I'd still always start with what's the proposition? Is proposition as good as it can be? And secondly, or sort of sat alongside that as well, is just not losing sight of the customer. And I think there is a little bit of a danger that we hurtle off down an AI road and lose sight of customer, product, brand proposition. So I think that's one thing I would say. But having said that, we've seen AI used really, really well in some of the businesses that I've worked with, albeit embryonic, particularly in marketing, but increasingly in production as well. So I think with businesses sat where they are today, some I think it would polarizing as well, I think, in terms of performance. I think AI is probably going to be used or wanting to be used and deployed for efficiency. And that's either back of house, upstream, or to help, as you said, people in stores, customer colleagues. And then I think there'll be a growth element to it. And I think it's trying to use all of those different elements. What's driving efficiency? What is helping customers and what's helping customer colleagues? I think it's trying to mash all of those together in a cost-efficient way that fundamentally still drives profitability for the business. There's no point deploying technology just for the sake of deploying technology. It needs to have a clear user case, I think.
Yeah, because it was an awful lot of speakers,
I'm sure,
at the conference were talking about it. But interestingly, and the thing that stood out for me were some of the comments around the, one was rush slowly, which I thought was a great way of putting
Brilliant.
It. And another one from a speaker was all around the authenticity. And they said that, you know, there's no room for misrepresentation, and this was in the context of particularly product and product discovery, yeah. Because as we know from recent events in the news with the royal family, what do we believe and what do we think? Well, is that real or not? And I just wonder whether that's something that's going to be a real challenge for the retail industry as a whole.
For sure, I think that piece around authenticity has always been a challenge. But I think whilst that's being questioned more now, I think that'll become, I think customers will just become more cautious about what they see, about what they believe. And like you said, the royal family linked to Kate in the last few weeks has just really heightened that. I think probably brought it to light for a lot of people that wouldn't have necessarily thought about it before. So actually what you then get back to is trust and loyalty. And I was doing a customer panel actually a couple of weeks ago, and it's interesting that brands that have historically been seen as trusted, that's still the case. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about people like Boots as still being a trusted brand, about Marks and Spencer's, John Lewis, still trusted brands.
Yeah.
So I think navigating your way through that and doing things authentically is going to become just more important. Because I think there'll be an underlying distrust. And things like I said, the royal family, that's just exacerbated it.
And you almost then, it's kind of like me personally, it's almost as if I'm over-rotating and then you're bordering on becoming paranoid. But then we don't, as consumers, we don't want to appear gullible in any way, do we?
So
I just think that perhaps as an industry, we're still very much finding our way with this.
Absolutely. But I think, interestingly, just I know we were talking about this earlier on, just that piece around security, technology security. So I think you've got that element. So I do think there is a rising concern with customers linked to technology. And then I think there will be the authenticity piece. So if you are a brand that is seen as a trusted brand, I actually think you've got a really great opportunity to leverage that now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, perhaps arguably you should have been doing that before anyway, but I do think you've got a real opportunity to capitalize on that in terms of how you build your, you know, technology capability going forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, just to point out, we are in a hotel lobby and they seem to turn the music up whilst we've been speaking. So we could have a lovely musical accompaniment to this podcast, which would be great. So now you talked about trust and authenticity, which brings me to something that was in the retail news just this morning. The CMA seems to have set their sights on fast fashion. Boohoo, ASOS, and George Asda were named. And this is all about so-called greenwashing. Wanted to get your thoughts on that, because we know that as consumers, we might say one thing about this, but we still love to have our cheap clothes and so on and so forth. What are your thoughts on what the CMA are doing there?
So this particular thing with the CMA has been bubbling along for, I think it's been probably about 12, 18 months now. So it's finally come out in terms of their ruling. And basically what they're looking for is just more transparency, more clarity for customers, and moving away from what I'd call wishy-washy statements. So in the past, where you might have been able to say, this is my eco range, that's you won't be able to do that anymore. And so they've given quite specific guidelines, working with the retailers, actually. They've not done it in isolation, which is, that's the positive thing. But what they're wanting is retailers to be much more specific about what their claims are. So percentage of recycled fibres or provenance in terms of where products have come from. And I'd say this is the tip of the iceberg. So France has recently ruled on fast fashion in terms of putting a tax on cheap fashion. So partly this is to level the playing field, but also it's just a direction of travel, I'd say, that is very strongly being pushed in the EU. France in particular is leading on this. And I say that because that level of regulation and rigor around your environmental credentials is going to become much more important. And talking to people who are in either quality or sustainability, governance in various different businesses, this is going to be a seismic shift over the next few years. Right. And I think the reporting is going to become, it's going to be really quite onerous. So definitely there's a view that you have to try and get ahead. There's, I think Reese recently announced that they've linked up with an AI company to help them better be able to report on it. But I think you're going to have to find a way of being able to report it that doesn't become so unbelievably onerous. But without a shadow of a doubt, this isn't going away. This is going to get, it's going to get more. So from a customer's perspective, brilliant.
Yeah.
You'll have, you know, you'll know where your products come from, if it's recycled, not recycled, and if that's something that is important to you, and I suspect it'll be increasingly important, then you'll be able to buy with a bit more trust, I think.
Yeah. So maybe good news for all the RFID vendors
absolutely.
Out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think things like that will all will almost come back into not fashion boards for a better word, but I think it'll just become much more important so that you've got an understanding of provenance, transparency. But I think the CMA has been quite, it's interesting. It's taken them a long time to get there. Definitely focused on, let's call it value, fashion and fast fashion. And that's clearly where, you know, France has targeted their efforts.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you think about all the stats on fashion and fast fashion in particular, it counts for a massive amount of greenhouse gases, big polluter of water, and so it's probably long overdue.
Yeah, I agree. Now, given all of that, and I said at the top of this that you spent a while as CEO at Jack Wills and obviously indeed. Board member at Debenhams, would you want to be, and perhaps give us a flavour of what it's like to be a fashion retail CEO.
Well, again, we talked about this morning.
In 3 minutes.
We talked about that this morning. I think, well, put it this way, there's never a dull moment. So I've worked in large-scale retail, going through various transformations over many years, and I've worked in small brands in a difficult period of time. And so there's never a dull moment. We sat here with a few days to go till Easter, and the weather's absolutely terrible.
Yes.
And so if you're in outdoor, if you're selling outdoor furniture or gardening, that will be a problem this weekend. And similarly with fashion, I walked past down Oxford Street yesterday, and we've got, you know, linen in windows. Nobody's buying linen at this minute in time. And so I think the challenges that you see as a retail CEO, those sorts of things don't go away. The weather is the weather and you have to manage the vagaries. I think all of the rising costs will be putting a lot of pressure on CEOs and CFOs. I think damp demand is not helping, but you have to keep forging ahead. It's still a fantastic industry to work in, as you know. And there's always opportunities. And you've seen that with some of the recent results that people have come out with. Next, I've had a fantastic time talking about going into a new era of growth. So I think whilst things are good, you want to maximise that. And I think when things are difficult, you really need to cut your cloth accordingly. And just, you know, you're constantly going over every detail, making sure that you know, everybody's doing what they can be to maximise opportunities while keeping costs tight. And I think in the short to medium term, most businesses will need to be pretty pragmatic, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting that I did a podcast recording just after his book launch. So a shout out to our friend Ollie Banks, who brought his book out. So, and he said something, because he's got a background in change and transformation. Yeah. I think it was at Tesco. And he said something that was very interesting. He said, don't wait for the bad times to drive change. Do it in the good times, which I thought was an interesting insight.
I think it's really easy. I think that's a really good point. It's really easy when it's good to get complacent. That's when businesses tend to pile in a lot of costs as well. So I think you constantly have to tell you, be asking yourself what's around the corner. And we used to talk about you've got to have the ability to see around the corner, because whilst it's good, it won't always be good. That is not going to happen. So you're constantly looking, how do we make this more efficient, or how do we drive growth? And I think thinking about transformation while it's good takes the pressure off. What you don't want to be doing is transformation when things are really bad, because then you're just under huge amounts of pressure.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably good advice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it always flies by. We're almost exactly on, just gone over 15 minutes.
Perfect.
Which is great. But that was fantastic. So AI, greenwashing, and the life of a retail CEO.
Yeah.
We covered a lot of ground. Suzanne Harlow, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking.